Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. The biggest event on the horticultural calendar, the Chelsea Flower Show, is just days away now. It's a big week for wholesale nurseries bringing their best offerings to the capital. And later on, I'll be speaking to Neil Alcock, manager at Seant Nurseries in Wales, about his hopes for Chelsea. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and to my producer, Charlie Jones. Sad news this week, with the death last Sunday of Beth Chatto, a remarkable lady. She was founding member of the Colchester Flower Club in the 1950s, I think only the second of a flower club formation in the country. And then, of course, a gardener extraordinaire. 10 consecutive gold medals at Chelsea Show from 1977, with her unique displays of plants for dry and damp areas. A mantra for her lovely garden, which is now in the hands of her granddaughter, Julia Bolton. We remember you fondly and kindly, Beth. Thanks for the beauty that you gave us all. The news this week comes from my garden. Not good news either. As far as I can see, I've got just one apricot on my great big apricot tree. Last year we picked 50 or 60 pounds of really lovely apricots, made good jam, had some in a deep freeze. We ate them till we didn't really want to eat any more. And then with that snow and frost, when the tree was in flower last March, I'm afraid it's wiped them out. Goodness knows how people make a living growing fruit, when one touch of weather like that can really upset the crop for a year. It's not just the apricot. I've got a very early plum, and that suffered the same problem. There's only one bit of good news there. The plum moth, you know, which gives that little pink maggot in plum fruits, that was building up in my garden. Well, if we have a year without stone fruits, I'm afraid the moth won't have any chance of building up its population. So if we have a reasonable crop in 2019, with luck, we won't have to worry so much about the maggot. Oh, and asparagus. Goodness, those 3 hot days. I mean, you could stand and almost watch it grow. You have to certainly cut it every day. What we won't have in the deep freeze for apricots, it looks as if we should have with asparagus. It was perfect weather too, over that hot 2 or 3 days, to run the hoe through the veg plot. You know what we say, there's no weed mightier than the hoe. And if you can run it gently through the top of the soil about once a week, it's very quick and very easy. Hoe before you can see the weeds. And if you do see no more than the little white threads of germinating seedlings, that's perfect. I reckon to use a push hoe working backwards across my veg plot takes about an hour, I suppose, to hoe the 30-foot by 40-foot plot. And with luck, should be completely weed-free. Our guest this week is Neil Alcock from Seant Nurseries. Now, Neil, I've never visited you. For those of us who live in the southeast, it's a little bit of a trek, and you're sort of well into Wales, aren't you?
Yes, you were based on the northwest coast of Wales, just outside Carnarvon.
And was there a reason for that choice? I mean, did it just happen by chance, do you think?
It just happened by chance, really. And the original owners set up, they actually converted from a pig farm to a nursery in 1978. all their first sop plants came from Bridgemere Garden Centre. They literally went and bought three of every plant they could, and that's how we started propagating here.
Well, that was a good place to start, wasn't it? In Bridgemere.
It was, yes.
Yeah, the days of John Ravenscroft, I mean, a great plantsman. Yeah.
That's right, yes, definitely, yes.
And how long have you been there then?
Right, I started in 1986 as a YTS trainee. So that's 32 years now I've been here, so yeah.
Goodness. Now, yep. I know Seant really as a wholesale supplier of new and attractive introductions. So how did that come about?
Right. Well, when I was originally the propagator here, say back in the late 80s, I was doing nothing but propagate Leylandii and Elwoodii conifers, which were great at the time. But I got pretty fed up with that. So I remember I approached Peter Katz, who was a breeder of Choicer Sundance at that time, and asked him for a license for that, which he reluctantly gave us. And then we quickly became established then as a nursery who could propagate up new varieties and distribute them. So it went from me chasing new varieties to actually people chasing me to with their introductions to launch in the UK.
Well, you certainly picked a winner with that first one, didn't you?
We did, definitely, yes.
You know, every suburb that I walk round, it sort of shines out, especially in the winter.
Does.
What a great plant. And of course, what a great connection. Peter Katt just had the VMH, hasn't he, from the RHS?
Yes.
Well, now then, to bring us a little more up to date, you have a new Berberis, which hopefully we'll have on the Sun, contained a Revolution exhibit. Now, can you tell us, well, as much as you can, where did it come from? How does it grow? What does it look like? Should we have one in our garden? All sorts of questions fly in my mind.
Yeah. Well, Berberis, I'd say in recent years, I don't know if you've noticed, but certainly in the retail supply chain, there's been a big resurgence of perennials and, you know, heuchers in particular. And a lot of shrubs have been sort of left by the wayside. So I've actually made it my sort of mission to, you know, keep new shrub introductions coming, because they are the backbone of any garden, really. So the Berberis Orange Sunrise is bred in Poland, so obviously it's a very hardy plant, bred by a guy called Lukan Kurowski, and he actually has more Berberis coming through in the future as well. But Orange Sunrise, it caught my eye just for that fabulous golden variegation around the edge of the leaf, which it has in, you know, midsummer. It starts off a very soft sort of orangey, almost pink colour to it this time of year, and then matures into a nice sort of shrub, about 1 metre tall. So it's very tidy in the garden. I've seen it used as hedging as well, actually, in Europe. So you'd be using a low hedge. So, yeah, I think it'll catch people's eye. We've already shipped wholesale to two big nurseries, Hilliers and Lavania Nurseries. So they've got 5,000 each. So there's 10,000 plants destined for the garden centres later this year.
And is that the way that you tend to operate then? You know, find a good plant, then you propagate it up, and then send out either liners or sort of semi-mature stuff to nurseries to grow on?
Yes. So we're well established in the supply chain. So we try and match a plant with a plant finisher. And obviously Hilliers are very good shrub growers. We have lots of new varieties going through Hilliers. Lavania, who in the same group comes as us, and also we use people like Wyvale Nurseries, Derby Nurseries. So we try and pick the right nursery for the right plants, and then they obviously have their customers like Wyvale Garden Centres, Dobby's Garden Centres, and some supermarkets.
Well, we had Robert Hillier on a podcast last week, so it's quite appropriate. Actually, it's almost becoming a Hillier song sheet, because we had Richard Jackson, who started his working life in the early days with Hilliers, and then Robert, and now, you know, you're mentioning the Berberis Orange Sunrise. It'll be presumably on the Helio stand, and we'll certainly have it on our stand. And we have our fingers crossed that it could even make Chelsea Flower Show Plant of the Year.
Yeah. Let's hope, yes. I think it's well, you know, it deserves it. It's a very good plant, yeah.
And I couldn't agree more in terms of shrubs. Just ready for a revival, aren't they?
I definitely think so, yes. We're looking very closely at Berberis, Sambucus, they're very popular at the moment. We've got a new Sambucus also called Golden Spark, which is a variety I raised myself from seed a few years back. That's been trialled here in the nursery, and we're literally on the point of launching that, so that'll be available for viewing at Chelsea as well.
But don't you have a silver or a white variegated Sambucus too?
No, just this golden one, Golden Spark.
Golden Spark.
Yeah. But we do a lot of work with Sambucus, again, a very popular, good garden shrub. our sales are dominated by varieties like Black Lace, which is very popular. So I'm hoping this one will be just as good.
I mean, that came from Efford, didn't it? There was breeding work done before Efford closed down, and there were several nice Sambucus or elderberries.
With Black Beauty was the first one, then that's followed by Black Lace. We also went back to that trial work and selected ourselves Black Tower, which we've launched about 5 years ago.
Oh, that's a nice plant. It's very upright, isn't it?
It is.
Really
dark. I actually
saved
that. Yeah, it was actually due to be dug up and destroyed. And actually, I drove from North Wales down to Kent and picked up the plants that had just been dug up and drove back here the same day and took the cuttings off it. So
goodness,
we saved that one. Been destroyed. One of my days.
Now, I also know you for heucheras, don't I?
Yes.
Boy, yeah. You've handled quite a lot of those. And you've got one or two new ones of those coming through?
Yeah, I mean, we put over 250,000 heucheras a year. Range is dominated.
How many?
250,000.
That's how many you raise each year?
That's right, yes. Yeah, and we have them. We grow them from tissue culture. So we have a laboratory based in the Far East, which grows them in the laboratory. And we ship them over here and weed them onto compost here. And that range is actually dominated by a company called Terra Nova, a big American company, who we work very closely with, but also we now work with Richard and Vicky Fox of Plantagogo. They've been raising their own varieties, and we actually manage those varieties for them. So we have some nice UK-bred heucheras coming through. This year, it'd be Violet Shimmer and Sweet Caroline. They're the two new ones from Plantagogo coming through this year.
Now, just a minute, you'll give me so much information, I can't get it down. What were the two new ones, Violet?
Violet Shimmer,
Shimmer
and Sweet Caroline.
And Sweet Caroline. They're nice names.
Yes. Well, Vicky's very good at naming plants. They have really good naming ideas, which I think is quite important with new plants.
Yeah. Will these be at Chelsea?
They will, yes.
And can you sort of describe Violet Shimmer?
Violet Shimmer has a lovely, as the name suggests, it has it's purple with a silver overlay, a wavy edge leaf, very tidy habit. And as it blows in the wind, it does almost, so that looks really good. And Sweet Caroline, that's a golden variety, again with a silver overlay. So you've got a nice yellow with silver foliage as well. So very attractive.
Now, if you were in a small house, tiny garden, and you had to select, what shall I say, five or six heucheras, what would they be? Is that an unfair question to put you on the spot with that?
Right. No, I have my own favourites. For a small garden, I do like the little cutie series. So you have varieties like Frost, Sweet Tart, Cocoa. They're some of the nice looking ones. I'd also like to have a nice heucher called Heucher Morello, which has a lovely purple plum colour. And that was really popular.
And what sort of spacing would you put these at? I mean, we could expect, what, a 3 or 4 year life comfortably from them?
Yes, definitely, yes. Heuchera, it's his best change every sort of 3 or 4 years. What you can do, you can actually lift them and bury them a bit deep. That keeps the crown in good condition. And I would plant them about 60 centimetres apart, so you get a nice sort of mass then.
60 to 70?
Yeah.
I mean, they are what I call accommodating plants, because once they do get sort of up a bit and multi-branching, you can sort of pull those pieces off, pop them in a pot, and they root very easily, don't they?
They do, yes.
We just need to watch for vine weevil, I suppose. It's the they like them almost as much as us, don't they?
That's right, they do, yeah. But vine weevil are very easily controlled with nematodes. We use a lot of nematodes here in the nursery. Very effective for the spring, summer, right through towards the months. We water nematodes on probably about once a month from almost onwards, really, all the way through to October.
Yes, give me the period again. I mean, have you started already? Because it needs to be when the soil temperature is not too cold, doesn't it?
That's right. Once the soil temperature is above 7 degrees, and around May, the life cycle of a vine weevil, it starts laying eggs around this time of year now, sort of mid-May. So we follow through end of May, beginning of June with the first applications then, and probably then every month all the way through to October.
Well, this broadcast is very timely then. So people should seriously think about getting a bit of nematode in. And there's one on Sale at Garden Centres, isn't there? Because
that's right. Yes, it's the same product as we use on the nursery. It's exactly the same creature that you can buy on a domestic sort of basis as well.
That's it. Newdorf. Very effective. Newdorf have introduced this year something which has, you know, several months' life. And so we don't have to get it through the post alive. Well they're all alive, but of course
that's
the Newdorf one just stores that much better. Yeah.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
That should make life a lot easier.
It should do, yes.
One little last question, Neil. What about the future? What have you got hidden round the back? You know, whenever I go to a nursery, I like to get round the back, you know, see what people have got tucked up their sleeves. What have you got for
us? I get sent plants from all over the world, actually, regularly. So at the moment, we have a nice little trials area, which we keep hidden away. I've got some
there we are, plants. Yes.
Yep.
Who sees that? Nobody sees it, yeah.
Nobody, yeah. all code-named, because it's very important, actually, with plant breeders' rights. You can't display names of plants, otherwise you can ruin the plant breeders' rights application. But we have code-named plants. We have some very nice, again, hardy, shrubby stuff from Canada. We've got two new soccer cockers, which are far more bushy than what you see in the market now and far more floriferous. We've got some repeat-blooming azaleas from Canada as well. And a good old-fashioned shrub, Arethiolepis, which, again, I used to grow years ago as a trainee, and it's gone out of fashion a bit now. We've got a beautiful compact one with full of flower, very attractive. And one other one, actually, a final one. We have a lovely fragrant rhododendron from Logan Botanical Gardens, Scotland.
Oh, really?
So some really interesting stuff coming through. Nice. And, of course, there's probably about 20 or 30 more heuchers as well, so they certainly won't stop.
Well, when you meet the proprietor from Flora Nova, you know, it's not surprising. Boy, he's got some enthusiasm for heuchers, isn't he?
Yeah.
I believe the workers who are handling seedlings and things are given a bonus if they find something which has a little bit special garden quality. Yeah,
yeah, they have a finder's fee. It's Dan Himes, the guy who owns Terranova. He comes here about once every 2 years. He stays in Carnarvon. He has a good look at the stock here. And also, he's got a reputation. People actually know him in Carnarvon now from the local pub where he sits in the Ice Edward chair. this American guy.
Well, he's a larger and life character, and large is the right word, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yes. Yeah.
Neil, I look forward to seeing you at Chelsea. Let's keep our fingers crossed for Berberis Orange Sunrise. I'm afraid I'm just entirely focused on Chelsea. I can't think why we do it each year. Just takes every minute of time we've got at what is a critical time of the year when everything else in the garden needs attention. But there we are. It's the focus of the year for us gardeners when we can show off our skills, and with a bit of luck, we'll have one or two really nice things. I did spend a few minutes on the local allotment, and I thought as my tailpiece, a little I Know 'Em poem. Open to view in Allotment Road, the Sunday morning gardener's code. Observe the method, hear the patter, 5 minutes hoeing and 10 minutes natter. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.